Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are, live again on Tuesday night with What Lies in Your Debt. Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I cannot complain. I got a wild hair up my butt yesterday and drove to Little Rock and jumped on a plane and flew my butt home for 6 days.
Wow, good for you.
Yet. I've had enough.
I'll bet you Danny is just tickled to death.
She was. She was, man. I've been...
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah, and I am too. Hell, I miss my family, man.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm a homebody. You know that. So
yeah,
it's good.
Well,
man.
you never ended up. You never yelled at me. You thought you know you might have some time.
I had zero cell phone service. Yeah, no, we had zero cell phone service the whole week where we were at.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, there's zero around that. The Sam Rayburn area, unless you're in Lufkin or something, which we weren't. We were in Brodus, which was like, might as well be nowhere. And,
oh, wow.
But it was free. I had a friend of ours up there give me the house the whole week for free. So,
wow.
No complaints there. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, got that done and stayed there all week. So, unfortunately, the most I had as far as phone service was maybe an hour a day at the most or internet. So it's hard for me to inform, guys. I do apologize. I did finally find a spot, believe it or not, that I could pile in there and get online for a little bit every day, which helped. But not much. It was not much. So it's
a lot
of situations over there. Yeah, there's not much service around there. It's amazing. And Toledo
Bend,
Louisiana was the same, you know.
Yeah, that's a real just basic rural area. You don't have a lot of stuff. You know, you got Lufkin over there and you got Beaumont and stuff like that are the only larger cities you have anywhere over in that area of southeast Texas. So, they're not going to put up a $500,000 cell phone tower for two people that live out in the sticks.
No.
And they know the fish don't talk on cell phones. So, if they did it by fish population, oh my God, there'd be a tower every 300 feet around the lake, right?
Exactly. I gotta tell you, Rayburn is beautiful. I wouldn't mind having a little place over there myself. Acre land is like $6,000 for an acre of land. That's just a lawsuit against one debt collector. And you're good. It's pretty nice. I like it over there, dude. I told Danny, I could probably...
No, I know. I love Texas, and I tell you what, I love the people here. That's, you know, I came from the Midwest, and I always thought people in the Midwest were friendly until I got here. And then I found out they weren't near as friendly as I thought they were, because people here really are friendly. I mean,
they really are.
It's just wild. You drive down a two-lane road here, that's kind of windy, and, you know, you do that anywhere in the country just about, and you'll have 30 cars lined up behind the slowpoke, right?
You
somebody's driving
it.
Slow not down here, place. they pull over on the shoulder and let you by.
Yep, absolutely every time. They'd see the guys coming, the tournament guys, and we're doing 75 because that's the beauty of Texas. I don't care if you're on a two-lane back road or if you're on a freaking interstate, it's 75. And that is awesome. And here's an observation, though. Think about the way human beings work. The speed limit is 75, but very rarely would you run into anybody cracking that 68 to 70 mile an hour mark, because that is the safe pace. Once you're 75, some of those windy roads get a little hairy, you know. And I thought it was cool because towing a boat, of course, I'm staying, you know, at that 65 to 70. But then I kept up with traffic. But anybody that wasn't going at least 68, 69, 70 would pull over that shoulder. They wouldn't slow down. They just pull over the shoulder, let you get by it.
Right.
Which I thought was like the coolest thing, you know. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a neat place. Like I said, I'd have no problem living over there in rural areas. None.
Pretty
cool, man.
You know, I like being in the big city for the convenience of everything at my fingertips. You know, I can get just about anything I want, and I don't have to drive more than about, or even walk more than about 2 miles. you know, where I'm situated, it's fantastic. But I do love living. I've lived out in the country before, and there's a lot to be said about that. I'd like to have a place out in the country here, and you know, I talked to you before.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, I'd like to maybe get a place over in Lake Fork. And, you know,
well,
have a little time to go out
and fish.
Around
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
you know what? You better do a disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Yes, guys.
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Tuesday Night Open call. If you are new to this call, welcome. We've got new members this week, from last week, I should say, not this week. Welcome aboard over the weekend. I hope you're on the call, and I hope you participate and raise your hand and all that and ask questions. And but again, for all you new people, if you're coming here and you're looking for legal advice, you need to go on down the road. Because that's not going to be done. You're never going to find it. We don't know what the heck it is out here. So, again, if you're looking for legal advice, you really need to go see an attorney. Their officers from the court, or the board members and all that junk. We don't do that. Now, we will have a lot of fun discussing legal matters and situations. What we've done, as a matter of fact, I'm going to open up tonight with some good news of my own. So, you know, and where we're going and how we've done it and how we've defeated this foreclosure deal for 11 years now and where they're going now. So with that being said, again, legal advice, attorneys, if you want to have a legal discussion on a bunch of different subject matter, this is where to play. So welcome aboard for that. Yeah, unbeknownst to me, Dave, my wife sends me a picture of this letter she got. And one of those hours period, I was able to look at it, and it sent a letter here, and it says, "Shell Point Mortgage Servicing, notice of default, intent to accelerate. Described on behalf of the holder of the promissory note, the loan is in default as to date. The required payments have not been made, total amount due. Now required to reinstate the loan, and the amounts are as following. Next payment due date, 7-1 of 2012. Now, guys, I've been in foreclosure in this house since 2006. I've beat them in court. I've sued them over and over. I've sued Bank of America. I've sued Shell Point. I've sued the attorneys. I've won. Thank the Lord, never lost anything. I set them up for this exact letter to show up like 4 years ago. It was when I beat them, right? 2012? Hell, it's been 5 years since the last one.
5 years, yeah.
Yeah, holy Toledo. Anyway, so what they're trying to do is go back 5 year statute of limitations on the collection, because they can't include the prior years on that, right? So they nailed this, and they said next payment due date, 7-1. So they're trying to get this in and started before July 1st. That's
mm-hmm.
their goal. That way they're within the catch of the 5 years, but they've got the last payment due. Does that make sense? So they're within that 5 years right to the max. The problem is that they send all these stupid numbers that don't make any sense. Total principal and interest due, $322,000, corporate advances, escrow required, and unpaid or unapplied balances, negative $2,700. So, you know, it's only fair that I have to send them a letter. Would you agree, David?
Right? Yeah, I, you know, you should communicate with them when they send you something like that.
I would think so. So immediately I called Tanner. I said, hey, we got this letter. I sent it to him, to his email. I said, we got to get this out for Danny. For those of you that don't know, my wife's petrified in court. But she's not scared to yell at me. But regardless, he got this letter out. He starts laughing when he sees that. So we got a letter out immediately, certified return receipt, referencing, you know, the letter here on May 11th, as you already know, I represent Danny with regards to the above reference. And Mr. Jingo represents her also. So they've been sued several times. And like, we've set this up. This is all according to our plan, right? So this is what I tell you guys. For all the new members, is you're always planning months, if not years, ahead of what's going to happen. That's where what lies in your debt will help you. I did a webinar in there that's literally like, I don't know, 12 parts or 14 parts, and it takes you from this letter, the original letter of acceleration, all the way through the trial and the win, and then some following lawsuits that we've won after the fact. So if you're in foreclosure or you're thinking of a strategic foreclosure, I've seen some talk about it on our forum, this is part of what we do. So anyway, it says, to hand yours above reference sent directly to my client, despite the fact that Shell Point Mortgage Servicing informed you, now listen to this, informed you of the representation, it will come as no surprise to you that my client disputes all the debt and for all reasons set forth in the prior litigation. I will, however, mention some high points. Now, why did we say that? Think about this sentence. We got this new attorney, this firm, and we're letting them know that, of course, Shell Point informed you that Danny was represented. Well, when I sued him.
Going around counsel.
Yeah, when I sue him, well, there's even a couple of more counts in there, but when I sue him, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Shell Point didn't tell me they were represented. I don't care. You owe me $2,000. The attorney owes me $2,000. The firm owes me $2,000. And then when I sue Shell Point, they're going to owe us $2,000. And Shell Point's going to say what? Well, we told them. So hopefully, we can get them at each other's throat. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we said that, right? So, all right. Your amounts, continuing the letter, says your amounts are visibly wrong. If the claim payments were due, the 5 years of payments you claim would amount to a little more than half of the total P&I you claim. Now, how we got to that number is none of their business, but we know for a fact that that's correct. Our estimation is absolutely correct. It is patent that your claim cannot be other than a material misstatement of the status of the debt. You have provided no detail to support or support for the corporate advance balance and or escrow required. This leaves the reader to the conclusion that they are unfounded, as well as your P&I claim is. The above implicitly assumes a viable claim. However, the debt was already fully litigated. Had there been any viable claim as to the note in question, it would have been a mandatory counterclaim in case number 2014, whatever. Your claim default of July 2012 would have been fully ripe at that time. So, remember, we sued them under the FDCPA and FCCPA. And when we did that, we attached the note and the mortgage to that complaint, saying it is based on the same debt, which creates a mandatory counterclaim on their part. The incident and the violation arises out of the same debt. That automatically triggers a mandatory counterclaim. So if they waived their mandatory counterclaim of foreclosure, Dave, what did they waive?
They waived the right to sue.
Their right to foreclose.
Yeah.
So we're reminding them of that here, letting them know that you're threatening. So count one is going around counsel. Count two is threatening to take a legal action that you're not entitled to take. And count three is your numbers are wrong, right? So we're suing you for attempting to collect an invalid debt, basically. But anyway, from the above, it follows that you must verify the debt. That is, I require that you contact the original claimant, which is Bank of America, to verify the debt and forward a copy of that verification to me. So we're not saying I want you to verify it. I want you to contact the original. They have to verify it. Then you have to bring it, or your verification has to add to that and then bring that to us, right? Since you do not represent the original claimant, I will also need a chain of title from them to your client. Considering the obvious errors in the amounts claimed, you must also validate the debt. This is that I require a history of the loan showing all charges, payments, and credits from inception until this date, as well as an itemization of the P&I payment claim, the corporate advance balance claimed, and the escrow required. If you or your client have reported any information about this debt to third parties, including credit reporting services, you are required to furnish the name and address of those entities to whom you have reported information about this debt. You're also required to inform all such entities that this debt is disputed. Let me know when you have done so. Do not telephone my client. Do not contact any other person about the debt. You must direct all communication intended to reach my client through this office. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So, we got this letter out. But what we did is, here's the other little trick we did, so you guys know. We sent this letter out via fax to their office. And then today I had Cody my son go out and send it return receipt, because that way they can never get Tanner as a witness to the mailing of the letter. So he can never be put in as a witness. You follow? Because he's the attorney. You don't need him to be a witness. Because then that would
right.
create a conflict. So he didn't mail it. He didn't mail it. He mailed it to me when I was in Texas and got here today, and Cody would turn around and went and mailed it. So there's all these little caveats, guys, to being successful when you're litigating all this stuff, so you know. So the first step of the first step we did is here what? We put them at each other's throat. That's the first thing. Now, this attorney got that and goes, holy crap, they never told me, which we know they didn't, that they litigated, that they forewaved their claim, this is true. Now, all of a sudden, this letter that they sent, which is notice of acceleration with the July 1st payment, by the time they get all their crap done, that notice of acceleration is no good anymore. And if they file foreclosure based on that default date, well, it's an automatic dismissal. So you see how easy it is to set them up as long as you're ahead? So when they make one move, you're 10 steps ahead of them. Literally, I'm 10 steps ahead of them. Isn't that awesome? Kind of. I chuckle inside.
Plan your work and work your plan.
Work your plan. You got it, brother. So there's my good news. That was a $6,000 letter right there.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That rocks.
Your land in Texas. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So, Danny, that's what we're going to spend that money on. I promise you, baby. I want that acre. I like it. So
there you go. Get some land over here, and we can get together once in a while.
Yeah, man. That made my whole week when I seen that letter. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, you idiot. So there you go.
Well, I had a little fun in the last few days, and I got an email here not long before the call tonight. Yeah. You guys might recall that I got a rash of phone calls from a debt collection company. They kept calling me while I was trading during the day and even caused me to miss a trade. The company, I found out through research that the company had been sued here before locally, and a gal that an attorney that I know here I've dealt with had represented them. So I contacted her about things, and she tried to contact them. They never responded. So I contacted them directly and tried to get things settled. They jerked around and wouldn't communicate with me. So I filed suit last Thursday, and I served the registered agent yesterday. And today I get an email from that same attorney saying that she's going to be representing them. And she's on vacation for the next 2 weeks, and she'll get back with me after she gets back. So it's right back where I knew it would be. But here now, the company, instead of being smart and addressing it in the beginning, now they're hooked with a $400 filing fee that I want to be compensated for, and then we'll see if we can settle things. So, you know. Sometimes
idiot.
People just get stupid, and they did. So that's my
contagious.
Little bit of good news. So
I would say stupid is contagious. It's a disease that cannot be fixed.
Yeah, yeah. It because Whitney, the attorney, is I work very well with her. She and I have a great relationship, and I think we'll probably be able to settle this. And because I've worked with her on, at least four or five different things in the last 6 years. And it's hard to believe we've been doing this for 6 years. I've been doing it for 6 years. This is amazing.
Right.
So, that's my little bit of good news that things are in process. That company was so blatant in what they did, they have absolutely no defense whatsoever. So, when Whitney has a chance to look things over and see, the complaint, read it out, and if she wants the evidence, which I'm sure she will, I'll have everything ready so I can email her all the recordings I have and pictures and so on and so forth. So she'll be going back to him and without a doubt telling him, hey, this is not somebody, he's not a dummy, he knows what he's doing, you don't have much of a defense.
Yeah.
You better settle us. So,
bam.
And she's real good at working to get settlements for me. She's been real good in working with her clients to get settlements for me. So, it's great to have an attorney out there that will do that for you. That's on the other side. I mean, she's a very good attorney. She's going to stand up for her clients, but she also is very smart in how she handles things. So anyway, that's my good news. If anybody else has any good news, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone and put your hand up, and we'll get to you. I know Larry has got a little bit of news because I got an email from Larry today.
Yes.
You want to talk any about what you sent me today, Larry?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to hear responses from everybody I sent the email to, and so far nothing. I think everybody's too shocked. Thanks.
I haven't had
Larry,
a chance to read it.
I just got done
okay.
reading it myself because I wasn't in my email. My input, whole bunch of grammar corrections, but I'm kind of anal about that.
No, I am too. Don't worry, I'm going to fix it. I told everybody, this is a draft. I mean, I've been working on it for a while, but I fixed everything.
The other thing is,
don't worry.
Absolutely no grounds to add the CFPB. Nobody can do that.
Okay. Well, that's not a big deal. I'm just throwing everything in the kitchen sink in there.
The only reason I even bring that up is because I want everybody to understand. We've kind of had people bring this up before because they don't quite understand the role of the CFPB. They are not obligated to take any action at all against anyone except on behalf of the government, and they are more of an investigative role. They will take action for the people connected with lawsuits brought on behalf of the government, but we have no private right of action to force them to. And that is why one of the things, and I just had this conversation with a member this last week. One of the reasons that Dave and I try to get everybody to file a complaint with the CFPB, a new one and a separate one, every single time these bad actors even accidentally step on your toe. And the reason for that is the CFPB has is funded and has a budget and has to justify every dollar they spend and every investigation that they launch. And what they have to base that on is enough complaints on the same issue. When there are, they do pay attention. Every time there is a complaint, and we've all seen that, they respond quickly. They open a file and assign it a case number. But every time there is a complaint against a particular entity, like Capital One or Encore Capital or Portfolio, whatever, they add that complaint to their file. And when there are enough of them on a particular issue, that justifies their substantial expenditure on launching an investigation which leads to a lawsuit, which leads to a consent decree, which leads to a stipulated agreement and money back in the consumer's pocket. But that's how it works. So we don't have a private right of action against them. We don't have any kind of standing to force them to do anything. But when we want them to work on our behalf, we've got to create enough complaints on those issues to justify the expenditure that they're going to have to go to. And it is not small either when they take on, you know, something like that.
To clarify something,
in my experience, the CFPB has been entirely useless. Every complaint I've made with them has gone nowhere. But I don't have any reason, you know, to, you know, make them angry at me either. I tell you what I'm going to change it to is that I intend to send a subpoena to the CFPB and obtain the records on every time that TransUnion or any other credit reporting agency has purged anyone's credit report.
That you can do.
All right. Well, yep. I'm going to put that right there in the complaint. All right. Let me tell you what's going on, or everybody. So as you probably all know, not all of you, but some of you know, I filed a complaint against Community Capital Bank about a year ago because I walked into a BJ's Club wholesale place to get a membership, and they gave me a credit card. They didn't ask for a warrant. So I sued them, and I'm about to sue them again, and I'm also adding TransUnion because they purged my entire credit report saying that I filed frivolous disputes, even though they've never told me that. And I'm also going to be adding as defendant the attorneys for Community Capital Bank who filed a counterclaim against me, claiming that there was a contract when I never received it. Well, I didn't receive a contract initially, and when I did receive it many months later, I sent them a certified letter saying I reject the contract in its entirety. So there is no contract, and I have proof of that. And their witness filed an affidavit stating there was a contract, and she knows, she has personal knowledge that I applied for the credit card, which is quite a feat since she's in Ohio. I'm not sure how she gained that knowledge. I don't know if she was astral projecting that day or what. Yeah, anyway, so the other part of it, which is another thing that we've talked about, is I'm suing Equifax for pulling my credit report from the National Consumer Telecom and Utilities Exchange. And what I've discovered is, because this happened to a friend of mine, they appear to do this. Equifax pulls from the NCTUE after you file a lawsuit against Equifax. Because I had my friend who filed a lawsuit against Equifax and the other credit reporting agencies in August, and lo and behold, within a few weeks, Equifax pulled her National Telecom credit report 17 times, and that was the first time that it was ever been pulled.
When you said in there that you felt that Equifax pulled from itself, you know what you were talking about? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And did you, this just question to you, did you send this to Thomas?
No. I don't remember. I mean, it seemed like we talked about it a while back, but I don't think I sent him. I didn't send him anything,
you need
no.
to send it to him because he has been doing extensive research on the NCTUE issue.
Okay. Well, are we ready to pull the trigger? Because I'm going to file a lawsuit against them. I think somebody needs to get a class action suit against them to figure out what's going on. Did you want to?
I disagree with that. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, what is the deal with them? Do you have enough information?
No, I can't remember exactly what the latest details were that he sent me. This has been just before our move to North Carolina. So
okay.
I haven't talked to him for a little bit. But I would send him that and communicate with him because you two need to collaborate on that area.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to be the lead plaintiff or one of the lead plaintiffs in a case against both Equifax and NCTUE. So we need to figure out what's going on as much as we can before that happens. But I think it's time. And by the way, if anybody's thinking about filing a lawsuit against Equifax, I would do it as soon as you can if you have a valid lawsuit, and then check your NCTUE credit report. And before I stop talking, I'll give everybody that number because I think everybody should check it because I don't know what's going on, but they pulled my credit report 115 times in a period of 2 years.
That's ridiculous.
Did everybody get that number? 115 times.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Larry, wait a minute. It's not getting the second time. What do you mean 115 times they pulled your credit report? For what purpose?
I have no idea. No.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, well, it's going to be $1 million lawsuit. $1,000. Wow.
That's what
That's
I'm talking about.
Million-dollar question.
Yeah, we're talking punitive damages, and I also, not only for this one, but several others, I mentioned 1681Q, which is a criminal portion of the FCRA that if somebody provides a fraudulent reason for obtaining your credit report, they're subject to, what is it, 2 years in prison and a
2 years in prison,
a very large fine.
$5,000 per occurrence type of file.
Yeah,
but
so I figure that's going to shake some things up. And the other part of it,
the prison part of it, if you do the research,
what'd you say, John?
I was saying that the prison part of it, if you do the research, is limited to cases where an employee of the company, you know, used what he had access to without the company. Without the company's permission. Typically, a company isn't going to face jail term. It's someone that fraudulently uses the system for their own purposes.
Okay.
I've dug into this a lot. But still, yeah, I mean, the lawyer looking at it isn't going to know that off the top
no.
of his head. No. No.
Is that going to give him pause and make him think, hey, do I really want to hang in this lawsuit, and do I want my client to possibly face the jail time or, many
or do
thousands
we need to get the
of dollars in
out.
Fines. Just, yeah.
They don't even
the other part of the lawsuit.
In the record.
Yeah.
once someone starts to create a path that other people can follow, it doesn't do the company any good. They need to nip that in the bud.
Well, exactly. And just because, that's been the history of 1681Q in the past doesn't mean it couldn't be applied to other things, because it doesn't say that in the statute, that it only applies to an employee who does something they shouldn't do. What about senior management at a credit reporting agency who takes a peek at your credit because they want to punish you and delete your entire credit file? Is that a good application of 1681Q?
Absolutely.
There you go. So I'm suing the senior management of TransUnion, starting with their CEO, and I picked out of the 12 people, I think it was, on their website, I picked out, I think, the seven or eight most likely to have played a role in this conspiracy to delete my credit file. So they're all getting sued personally, and that should be interesting.
Yeah,
because TransUnion admitted that their senior management made the decision to eliminate my credit file in consultation, I think they said, with their general counsel or, their legal department. So that narrows it down, and they're going to have to explain what they did and who did it.
Yeah, subpoena any email correspondence relating to that, so on and so forth, this, that, and the other thing. Oh, yeah, that could get to be real interesting discovery-wise.
Yeah, because none of that is, all of that is discoverable.
Mm-hmm.
They can't claim attorney-client privilege.
Yep.
And that
sounds
could
be very
financial terrorism.
Yeah, so that's my news, and we'll see what happens. But I'm filing this case on Thursday. Oh, the other thing is...
I was just
going to
say,
if anybody hears...
Go ahead, Larry. Finish up, and then I'll make my comment. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, like I said, I'm suing the two attorneys and their law firm, the one who is representing Comenity Bank and BJ's. And I offered to settle with BJ's for $2,000 and a statement saying that I never applied for a credit card with them. Now, if they were to do that, that would mess up the entire case for the attorneys and for Comenity. It's a great offer. I mean, they should, be falling all over themselves to accept it. But I had to pry the information out of them. They finally said, I don't even know if this is true, that they did pass on the offer to BJ's and BJ's rejected it. So once this lawsuit is filed, all three of them, the attorneys and their law firm, Comenity and BJ's, are going to be operating at cross purposes, trying to, get out of this lawsuit. And the only way they can do it easily is if they turn on each other.
Well,
that's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Should be very interesting.
Yep.
Well, the anyway. Comment I was going to make before to everybody was, if you hear a very loud noise, it may not be a terrorist attack. It may just be the reaction to Larry's filing of that lawsuit when people read it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty brutal.
Yeah, you...
I did threaten class action for both the destruction of my credit report and for the National Consumer Telecom thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the phone number so everybody can call them and get their report if they haven't done it already. Does anybody else have any comments about the draft of the lawsuit? I think once I file it, if you guys want to post it, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, I should be able to get through and read it. I read the first couple of pages, and then I had something that distracted me and sent me off on something else, so I didn't get any further than that, but I'll see if I can get through it tonight.
Okay, good. Thanks.
All right. Well, does any one of our other any of our other moderators have any good news? John, Terry?
Well, Pat starts work tomorrow.
Oh, well, that is good news. Income in the family. That's always a good deal.
Oh, yeah, and we're all legal, so that's all good. But it has been raining for days, and it looks like my Wednesday river day is going to be really wet tomorrow.
That's not good news. That's all crap news, but anyway.
We'll see.
Okay, John, you got anything for us?
Nothing new today, but that was very interesting about Larry.
Yeah.
And Jesse.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
so
I've got the number. Dave, I got the number for the National Consumer Telecom and Utilities Exchange. I think everybody should be calling them and getting a copy, especially if you file a lawsuit against Equifax. But either way, it would be interesting to see what's there. The number, it's 866-343-2821, 866-343-2821. And you need to call between 9 to 5 in your time zone. And you'll get the report within like 3 or 4 days after you call them.
Yeah, I got mine quickly. So, okay, everybody, we have some people with hands up, and I don't know whether it's going to be good news or whether they got questions, so we'll just dive into them, and we'll take it as it comes. And first of all, we're going to go to 704. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. We got you loud and clear.
Perfect. Thank you. And again, as always, thank all of you for taking your time to share this vital information. On the last call 2 weeks ago, I asked about what do you do about a repossession? And the insight that I was given was to check my state, first and foremost, to see what the rules were regarding notification. And when I checked with the state of North Carolina, it clearly states that the creditor must notify you of the time and place of the sale.
There
that
you go,
did
buddy.
Not happen. Now,
yep.
Thank you. So now that I have that information, what am I to do next? They've been calling me. They sent me a nice letter today, GM
now,
Financial.
Listen, hold on. What did it say that they had to notify you? What happened? What was the repercussion? Like I told you, in Florida, it says if they don't notify you of the time and place, then they forego their right to a deficiency judgment.
Okay,
so
that's just
– I don't know what it says in the Carolinas exactly.
It doesn't say great observation. It doesn't it just puts a period at the end of that. It just says they must notify you of the time and place
so
of the
sale,
period.
So you do some homework
period.
On that. Here's some more homework. Find out after that period. Go to the Oracle and type in there, you know, not notified of place and time, car sale or repo sale, whatever, Carolina, wherever you're at, and see what brings you. have to find
Jesse, we're having a hard time hearing you. It's like you're away from your phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that any better?
A little bit.
David, so.
Yeah, I think that may be the problem. It was a little funny earlier, but you were kind of fading out.
Has it gotten any better?
Well, we can hear you right now. So.
Yeah,
okay,
I hear you pretty clearly.
Yeah, good. Okay, so I would go look at the cases on that and see what it says. Because that's how you're going to have your answer.
Well, you say the cases, so can you be a little
case
bit more
law.
Clear for me? Case
it's
law.
Case
gotcha.
Law. Yeah, of not being notified of place and time of sale.
Gotcha. Okay. So once I have that, because right now, like I said, they've been calling me, of course, and they've already reduced the amount by 35%, in two phone calls.
I think it's the debt collector calling you. It's not the actual bank, right? It's the debt collector.
No, it's actually GM Financial that's calling me. They are the creditors.
Maybe they know that, yeah. Maybe they know that they're not supposed to.
Have you sent them a demand for validation yet?
I didn't. So that's something I should do with the creditor as well?
I'm going to send it to anybody. It's called CYA, Cover Your Behind.
That's right.
Because if there's any chance that they're a debt collector and not the creditor, and you forego that, don't do that within the 30 days, then that changes things to a degree. So absolutely, anytime somebody sends you a demand for money, it should be an automatic response to send a demand for validation.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, it's on their letterhead, and I'm still going to do it, as you've indicated. It's on their letterhead, and they closed out by, it's amazing, nobody puts their name on anything. But it just says Internal Collections Department, GM Financial.
Mm-hmm.
So
I still send it to them. See what kind of response you
get.
What you're doing is you're making a record of a dispute of the debt. And then you see how they respond. And you're starting to create a trail of evidence by doing that. You're not just sitting back and not responding, because you got to keep in mind one very simple thing when it comes to legal issues. Silence is acquiescence. If you don't argue something, it means you must agree. And that's the way the courts are going to look at it.
Gotcha. Now, great. And I can definitely do it. This letter is dated May 15th, so I definitely have time to get that out. One final question. Now, when this loan was originated, it was under my former name. Since then, my name has been legally changed. How should I deal with that? Because they don't know that my name has been legally changed. They just know me as the signature of the former name. How do I?
It's very simple. You send it to them in your name, Joe Smith, FKAF/K/A, which means formerly known as, and then your previous name.
So FKA, gotcha. And slash is in between.
Right. F/K/A. You know, you've heard of, DBA and stuff like that. This is
FKA.
Is formerly known as. That's telling them, okay, I used to be Sam Smith, now I'm Tom Jones.
So that way
they have a reference, because if they're getting something from a different name, they're like, well, that's not who we sent this letter to. You're letting them know that you are, in fact, that same person, but you're giving them a reference.
So FKA with the slashes in between, my former name, and then my new name, correct?
Well, no. You're going to tell them your current name and then formerly known as FKA and then your old name.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm now so and so, formerly known as that other guy.
Gotcha. Okay. Good deal. All right. Well, I will research case law and see what I come up with. You guys have been great and helpful, and I will send them a debt validation letter. We appreciate it.
Very good.
Thank you.
All righty. Keep us informed.
You got it.
All righty. Okay. We're going to go on to 954. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Are you guys hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
We sure can.
Okay. Oh, great. I'm at work, so I'm trying to step out and hear some stuff. Okay, I got a question for Jesse. And I know you don't have a crystal ball, and I know all that stuff. Getting ready to file my first lawsuit.
Okay.
And I've got an issue with, I sent a debt validation letter to my servicer, a current servicer. They have not served me yet, but my acceleration, my Dunning letter they gave me would have expired today. So I've already sent them a QWR, and they responded with a generic response, of course. I sent the MERS milestone request. MERS forwarded to my servicer and had my servicer answer that, saying that they are, my servicer is the lien holder of the mortgage, and that MERS will assign them that when foreclosure comes or when they get served into the foreclosure. So I already know that I have a TILA violation on Section 4, Letter D, which is going to be good. I'm going to do an FDCPA violation for my first. My question is, on this particular matter, does that debt validation buy me a little bit more time just in case? Because I'm still new to this, and I'm trying to get my complaint together, and I don't want to do anything stupid.
Right.
And I just want to do it right.
Remember what I said earlier? Yeah, remember what happened with my case earlier, right? So they send mm-hmm. you a notice of default on such and such a date.
Correct.
Well, you got to play that because they got X amount of time, right, depending on where you're at on the statute of limitations on that particular payment is how that would affect you to slow it down. A QWR yeah. for sure is going to slow it down. A debt validation request positively will slow it down because they can't make an attempt to collect the debt, call you, send you a statement, do anything until that debt is properly validated.
Correct.
So if they do try to collect in the interim, then you got them, you know, dead to rights under the FDCPA.
What if they serve me with the sheriff? Because I'm in Florida. Yeah. So if they serve me with the sheriff.
Oh, you're in Florida. Yeah. So
yeah.
Here's the problem in Florida is you do a debt validation letter, right? You got the notice of acceleration. You sent them a debt validation, right?
Right.
Okay. Did they serve you with before validating?
They haven't served me at all yet. I'm just trying to anticipate.
You just said if you get served. Oh,
right.
you didn't make it sound that way. You make it sound
no,
weird.
No. Maybe my phone's messed up. No, I'm trying to think ahead like you always suggest. I'm trying to think, plan ahead. And I know you don't have a crystal ball, and neither do I, but I'm trying to just strategically think what I should be involved in.
Right now, you're waiting for the validation. If they make any attempt to collect prior to that validation, then you can sue them under the FDCPA, the Florida statute. If it's the original lender, then you don't have a case under the FDCPA, but you do under the FCCPA. The Florida statute applies, and you would have one as for the firm, and for the original creditor under the FCCPA,
correct.
Not the attorney. The attorney has litigation privilege under FCCPA. So this is where it gets confusing. You can hit the mm-hmm. attorney directly under the FDCPA. You can hit his firm under the FDCPA and
right.
the FCCPA. And then you can mm-hmm. hit the bank under the FCCPA, if they're the original creditor,
right.
not the FCCPA.
Well, this,
so you'd have to play it out, you know, properly.
Right. I understand
all
that but the only thing is my servicer, my current servicer at the moment, who has sent me the Dunning letter. I'm going to allege that they are a debt collector because their billing statements and even the Dunning letter says that they may be acting as a debt collector in these instances, and that's what I want to try to allege
and
prove.
That's not smart. You, they either qualify under the FDCPA, and you know they do, or they don't. Don't waste your time. That's what gets courts mad. So either they took the debt while it was under default, and you know they're a debt collector, and you're going to hammer them, or they didn't, they're not, and don't waste your time.
All right, so then I should wait for them to actually serve me to let the cards reveal themselves, basically. And then I would know, because I have no idea who.
Okay, did they take debt? Did this debt collector take the debt while it was under default? That's really the only question. It's very simple.
And default would be when they actually serve me. I'm behind on the payments.
Default means when you were behind on your payments.
Right.
Yeah, if they acquired the right to collect on that alleged debt when it was in default, then they're a debt collector. If they didn't, then they're not a debt collector. It's a very clear dividing line there.
Right.
Do you understand that difference, though?
I do, but this servicer has. I wasn't in default at all when they transferred the loan, or they supposedly bought my loan. And I just became defaulted because I'm 2 months behind. They're the ones that sent me the Dunning letter saying that I need to, you know, cure the problem, or else in 35 days the note will accelerate and things of that nature. And this is the service that I'm dealing with at the moment. They're the ones I sent the QWR to. They're the ones I sent the debt validation to.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, they're probably not a debt collector.
Okay. So then I would legitimately have to wait for the...
No, you don't have to wait. You would have to wait for them to file under or to serve you papers.
Correct.
Or if they made a mistake and continued to collect while without validating the debt.
Okay. Well, right now they haven't sent me another billing statement. They just sent me a letter explaining that they are, and that they're the lien holder, and that MERS will assign them to, put the assignment in when that time comes. So the only thing I have, if I wanted to strike first.
Wait a minute. So you haven't checked the public records to see
nothing's
if
there.
They even have an
they're
assignment?
Not there.
Oh, no, really?
They're not there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're threatening you. I'd sue them right now.
That's what I'm thinking.
They're threatening
exactly
to take a legal action action they're not entitled to take.
Because it's just like you said in the last webinars, I want to get them to prove that they are. And I'm alleging that they aren't because they did not show me a location according to TILA 4 letter D. There is no location of where this assignment took place. And, they did everything else correct as far as concerned. You know, they sent me the letter within 30 days that they, you know, the hello goodbye letter, all that stuff. They did all that correct as far as I can tell. But I got them on that TILA one for sure. And there's still no assignment because that was the basis of my QWR was, where is the assignment? And please validate this debt. And, you know, I did the whole format about I'm disagreeing with the balance owed. Please show me all that stuff. So I fit the formula and they responded to the QWR. But it was just the same stuff that I got from public records. And there's nothing there that shows them at all anywhere in the system. And that's what's
right.
The issue.
Gotcha.
And so that's where I've been debating. I've been living in 2011 and 2012 with your webinars, so I'm kind of like, you know, all of a sudden I'm in 2017, you know, trying to figure all this stuff out. But it's my first one, and I want to strike first, and I want to be ahead of the game. And that's the whole thing. I want to get them into federal because I don't want to – if they're going to do the serve me the papers while I'm in federal, I still want to be ahead of the game. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, it sounds like you're on the path right now. So hopefully they don't screw up, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, that was my main gist of the question. I disputed it with the credit bureaus also. So I've got that in dispute. I'm waiting for the response. But, well, they sent me a generic response saying, you know, but I'm going to keep pressing that. So I have all the evidence, and the whole gist of my lawsuit is going to be based around I don't have an assignment. I don't know who these people are. And, you know, that's what I'm going to file.
I would sue them right now.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking. Yep. Okay, great.
You can't, you know, and you can't get standing after the fact. And that's pretty much Florida case law here. The law, I mean, forever, ever, ever.
Right. Now, another thing on the MERS. I'm sorry, you were finishing something.
I'm just saying you can't, you know, file a case, basically get standing while looking for standing. And that's,
right.
You know, that's the deal. That's really the deal.
Now, I've been doing research on PACER. I've been doing research on my local circuit court, clerk of courts case searches with these other companies, and I located some of these companies. Now, I saw that on some of the defendants, like the mortgage company was the plaintiff and the homeowner was the defendant, along with MERS as a defendant. I don't understand that. If they were a MERS mortgage, and why would they, because MERS is a interested party, is that why they would include them as a defendant, along with the homeowners association?
They put them in as a defendant in case.
Okay.
They got some assignment in there. Yeah, that brings MERS, because obviously if they're a defendant, we used to use that strategy years ago. If they're a defendant, that means they're going to have to do what? Defend themselves.
Okay.
You
okay.
Follow, and then you can start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where's the assignments? When did the assignments take place? Who is this signer? Who is that signer? You follow me?
Right, right.
Okay.
All right, good. And I've had great success with my small claims. I've used you guys' as templates for the FCCPA already, and I just were, of course, worded, of course, you know, and I got the jurisdictionary, so I'm using that, and I've had the clerk of the courts say, "Are you a lawyer, sir?" And I said, "No, ma'am. I'm just here to, you know, file my case." And they're like, "Wow, this looks like something a lawyer would do."
That's awesome.
That's what I want.
I know how to read.
You know? Yeah, I know how to read. I know how to, you know, I got my FDCPA handy dandy list of violations right on my table, so I look at it every day. I'm ready to strike, you know. But
awesome. It's
just it is amazing.
Kind of fun
I
when they ask
again.
You that.
Yeah, the only thing I'm getting caught up with is these stupid little things where, oh, well, that's not the right, you know, cover sheet format, you know, things of that nature. I mean, I'll fix all that, but the actual complaint itself is spot on. They like it. And I've already got a settlement going for enhanced recovery.
Awesome.
Those jokers. Oh, my God, they were a nightmare. But that's working awesome.
You get to deal with them too, huh? I think we all have one time or another.
Yeah, but I got them dead to rights. And
good.
But I got to focus on this mortgage situation first. I got to get this under my belt. As long as I'm ahead of the game and I can keep this going, I've got to deal with that.
Right.
And I got the securitization audit going on as we speak, so I'm looking forward to finding out what's going on there. Because the other thing is I got a title issue. That's what started this whole thing was last year in July. I got one of my homeowner's associates came up to me and said he was going to sue me because his name just happened to be my name. We have the same name. And the title company, when I refinanced, accidentally put my name on his title. And it was like, what? And then I didn't, you know, I had no idea. So they filed a quick claim deed, but that's what got my curiosity piqued that something wasn't done quite right with my original lender. And then before I could deal with them, they went ahead and sold it and transferred it to this new servicer that I have. So I've just been researching and researching until I found your site.
Right.
And prior to March, I had no idea about anything about lawsuits. So now I feel like I'm leaps and bounds ahead of everybody and continuing. So
right.
You know.
Well, who's doing your audit?
Karen.
Karen's doing it? Okay. I just didn't see nothing come through us over here, so that's what I was asking.
Yeah, I just submitted it. I was just, you know, trying to put my daughter just graduated high school, so I'm trying to put stuff together financially and wait for some of these settlement money to come in and just, you know, make it happen.
Of course.
But I'm going to file
that. No worries, man. Yeah. You submitted your paperwork, right? To see if it's
even
securitized, correct? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's
it's
not doing your
securitized.
Audit. You just started. Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's been secured. I did that run check, and it's got MERS all over it. And like I said,
that
the letter that's
it was
my service.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
It doesn't mean
yeah.
it's securitized. Okay.
Oh, it's still not securitized?
No, just because it says MERS doesn't mean it's securitized. That's
no.
Don't assume that.
No, I submitted it through the first check, and it said it was securitized. That's why I went ahead and proceeded and did the rest of the audit.
Oh, I got you.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm trying to do all the checks and balances. I'm doing what I can, you know, but everything seems to be working good.
I have to check. I got to make sure. What is your first name? Don't give your last name. What's your first name?
James.
James. Usually, it has to, I'll get an email that says, hey, you've submitted payment, you know, to Karen, whatever. And I haven't seen
right.
anything. That's why I was wondering. Usually, I see it, you know. And you've submitted
right.
payment already?
Yeah.
Okay. Just check it. I didn't see anything.
Well,
all right. Good enough.
Well, you did
I'll
say you
sure
were in Little Rock, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got to check with Gary. That's why. Because
yeah.
usually, I'll
okay.
get an email. If I don't get the email, then something's not right. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
That's all. All right, brother. Well, like I said,
right,
I would pin him against the wall. I would definitely pin him because there's nothing there in public record, and there's nothing there that shows that they're the ones who have the right to collect. So far as you're concerned,
exactly.
you don't know who they are. That's
exactly.
right. You have no clue who they are. Period.
All right, sir. Well, thanks a lot, and I'll let somebody else
right,
get
brother.
On now. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Thank you, sir. Okay, we're going to go to the next one. I want to mention to everybody, if you have got a question for us, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. That'll put your hand up so we can call on you. Right now, we're going to go to 813. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, I don't know if that's me. My name is Vic.
That's you.
Hi. It's good to get through to you guys. I've listened a couple times. I couldn't get through. Currently, my house is up for sale on the 16th of June. I've been fighting foreclosure for about 5 years. So I've done just enough to stay ahead of the wolves, but I'm probably in over my head. I've got an upcoming trial. I did a debt validation letter with the pretender lender. And, like I said, they defaulted. I gave them the 30 days to validate, which they couldn't do. And then I gave them another 15 days, which they couldn't, you know, do. And they finally sent me a letter saying that they couldn't find the documents I requested, one of which was the note, which is the only thing that gives them the right to foreclose. But I had already lost a foreclosure case a while back, gosh, years ago. I don't know, maybe 2012 maybe. And, but it was a default judgment. And, when we had a phone trial, and I was in Iowa where I'm from, and, the court was, here in Tampa, and, the attorneys were in, Fort Lauderdale. But, the judge at the end of that said that he wanted us to have a meeting with each other, which we never did. And then the next thing I know, I got notified from the court was that I had lost, and there was a default judgment, but I don't even know how they got that. I actually did file a federal lawsuit. I had hired some other people to help me, to guide me, and I filed that federally, and I hired also a lawyer at one point, and he was supposed to be taking care of that suit, and he didn't. It got dismissed. I'm not sure how, but... Anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm waiting for my trial to come up for that. I defaulted them under FCRA, FDCPA violations, and like claiming the debt was validated through the credit agencies when it was not. So, I guess I'd like to hear some of your. Maybe some guidance or maybe some something I should do. Strategy.
Well, you just said something that's confusing to me, right? You said you have your house is coming up for sale, but you haven't had your trial yet. How can that possibly be? Or did I miss something?
You know, that's one of the questions I have for you, is that I was under the impression that any you know, I lost that suit, the forced closure suit, a while back. I filed a suit in small claims with over the FDCPA violations, and
that has nothing to do with the other one. No, that's fine. Okay, that's where my misunderstanding was. Because remember, the actual lawsuit, the FDCPA has nothing to do with the debt itself. It's in which way how they attempt to collect the debt that matters. So they can violate as they attempt to collect the debt, and that doesn't make the debt illegitimate. It just makes them idiots for violating something they should not be violating. So one has nothing to do with the other. And the only way you're going to be able to stop a sale is to file like a Chapter 13 or something prior
well,
to...
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. I filed bankruptcy a few times just to stop all this stuff, and I can't go that route again. The last judge I spoke to said... she was going to make something that I couldn't file for 2 years. But I don't want to do that anyway. I just want to file a lawsuit.
Yeah, but that ain't going to stop your foreclosure is what I'm saying.
Filing a lawsuit would not stop the sale of my house?
No, absolutely not. Nope.
Hello?
Nope. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, he said no, it will not, and I agree.
Well, it won't automatically, but they might take notice of it. But you cannot count on that.
Nope.
I was under the impression that anything that was you couldn't sell something that was under a dispute or whatever.
Nope. That's wrong.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's a misunderstanding.
How you collect the debt has nothing to do with the debt itself. That's where you're not understanding. So I just explained to you.
You know what, guys? I've got there's so much fraud on this thing. I was hoping to find out, which strategy would be best to file a lawsuit.
I don't care. I don't care what kind of lawsuit you file. It's not going to stop the sale of your home.
So, what strategy should I employ?
The only one that'll stop it is the foreclosure or the bankruptcy. That's it.
And if you're prohibited by the court from doing that because you've already been down that road multiple times, I don't know what other alternatives you have.
I don't know of any.
There's so much fraud on my case, so there's got to be something I can do to either get my case reopened
If you didn't, there's no such thing as reopening a foreclosure case. That doesn't even exist. So
actually, you know what? The previous people I had hired to help me did get it reopened, and we missed an important date, and that's why we weren't allowed to continue because they had wanted a brief along with what we had submitted, and the person I hired didn't miss it, and I didn't know what it even was, so we didn't get the brief in time, but we had got it reopened.
That's called an appeal.
No, it was not an appeal. It was not an appeal.
All right.
Well, but the problem is if things weren't resolved.
Yeah.
If they weren't resolved at that point in time, you can't come back now and have another bite at the apple. That all had to be dealt with on a timely basis back when it was happening. You can't just have that stuff end with that judgment against you and then come back and say, oh, well, I don't like what happened to me, so I just want to reopen things and have another bite at the apple. The court just won't let you do that.
Okay, guys, I guess what do you do you have any thoughts?
No, I already told you. The only way you're going to do it is to file a 13. There is nothing else. And you're saying you can't do that, right?
Yeah, she told the judge I spoke to, said I couldn't do that for 2 years or whatever.
Well, she said that, but did she put anything in the case? Did she give you anything in writing? Did any of that happen?
Yeah, I'm sure she put it in writing. We went through all that stuff. They sent me a letter and all that. But,
Well, you have to go read the letter.
Let me ask you this, guys. Fraud, there is no statute of limitations on fraud, correct? These guys didn't even have the note. And I had my mortgage, it was securitized, and they did the research and found that it was not connected to my to the note no longer. What else? Oh, the note that I did a refinance maybe like 8 months after I got the house, and under bad advice. But they had paid off the original note, and they made a second mortgage, a second note. But the thing is, though, they did not have a license to do business in the state of Florida, and in Bank of America versus Nash, the judge had ruled that all mortgages done without a license to do business in the state of Florida were null and void, and mine is one of those. So, I mean, that's just one. I've got multiple robo-signers. These guys didn't even have the note. I think I had the full judgment, which I don't even know how. They never had the notes. So, I mean, like, there's all kinds of ways to go at this. I'm sorry?
Getting a default judgment is not hard in the state of Florida, especially with our sorry judges that we have here. That's not hard at all. So, you say you don't know how they did it. I can tell you it's not hard at all.
Well, we were supposed to have a meeting, which didn't happen. I mean,
thanks, man. I know it's not what you want to hear. I'm just telling you, it seems like it's way too late at this point to do anything.
Well, okay, but let's say I do lose. I still have a standing to sue.
I don't know. What are you going to sue for?
A wrongful foreclosure.
That you might have. You might absolutely have that. But since I don't know all the details in your case, it's impossible to look at that. But that still doesn't give way to reopening a case. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do understand that, guys. But you know what? When I originally filed a lawsuit against them, they did stop the sale of my house. So I thought there was some merit to that.
No, I don't.
Well,
again,
at
we
that
don't know
point
all
in time,
nuances,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, at that point in time, I can understand that, and we see that quite often. But you're much farther down the road with a judgment and everything in place, and it's basically going to be considered res judicata.
What about the clean hands doctrine? What if what they said was, well, obviously they lied and they don't own the house. There has to be some repercussions for that.
No, not in the state of Florida. As a matter of fact, you can sue them, win your appeal, and you still don't get your house back. That's the law in Florida. How crappy is that?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
I don't either. Never have. But that's the law here.
Okay, so let's say they do get my house. I still have now I've got an actual damages to sue for.
Well, no, because did you own your house free and clear?
Well, I should. I mean, like I said, Bank of America versus Nash. Are you guys familiar with that case?
No, that's unless you wrote a check for it, you should have not. So, did you own it free and clear? No. Did you have a bunch of equity in it? I don't know. If you did, there could be damages there. If you didn't, then there's zero damages. You didn't own anything. Damages is not just because you lost your house, man. It doesn't work that way.
Huh, okay, what about
I know you're grasping at straws is what it sounds like to me. I hate to say that, but it sounds like you are, man.
I know you guys are a lot more knowledgeable than I am, but
yeah, I know. But again, listen, there's so many facets to your situation that there's no way in hell we could make any determinations by just on this phone. Somebody has to sit and study your case for a week before they can figure anything out. That's the problem. So you can keep asking all the questions you want. We can keep giving you just, you know, very vague answers. There's not a whole lot we can do with it. That's the problem.
See, this is what I understand. Like, when I filed that lawsuit originally, and I did get my case reopened, I sent them like, I don't know, $300 to like the, maybe it was a court of appeals. It wasn't, but it was, my time to appeal had been expired. So I don't know what it was exactly, but we got my case reopened. We just missed the date for the brief. So, I mean, you said the cases don't get reopened. Well, I already proved that's not true. It's just a fluke that we missed the date with that brief.
Well, sometimes an appellate court will grant you additional time, especially if somebody is a pro se.
Oh, but another thing, there was no chain of title. There was a
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
I know
the,
that.
You were talking about the appeal. It's not really, oh, well, we reopened it. If you had to appeal and you didn't do it properly, you missed doing the brief, you told the court that, they said, well, okay, you're pro se, back away from this and we'll let you go ahead and do that. That's not really reopening a case. What it's doing is just allowing you to move forward with an appeal. Now, I don't know what happened after you were able to do that. Were you successful or not? I would assume you were not.
Like I said, we did get the case reopened, and they gave us, maybe a month or so to the brief, and for whatever reason, her and I, we missed it. I guess I'm assuming that she must have had a big caseload and just missed it when I sent her all the. I sent her everything that I got from the courts, and she must have just missed it.
For you to sue her. Unless she's your girlfriend.
She's not the one trying to steal my house, so.
She's the one who caused you to lose it, though.
But I'm thinking she must have been a paralegal and not an actual attorney or something, so. But you know what? When she found out that she did that, that she missed it. I'm sorry?
I said that's even worse if that's the case.
She got my case reopened. I mean, it was just that we missed that date with the
brief. You're talking circles, bro. Dave, let's just move on. Can we just keep talking in circles?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
Unfortunately,
I don't. My personal opinion, based on what you have told us, is that I don't see any avenue for you to pursue at this point in time. I don't see that you have a viable avenue. But that's just based on what you've told us, and obviously there's a whole lot more information out there. Obviously can't get that tonight.
Is there something I can talk to or email to chat about this, like without taking up all the phone time today?
Yeah, we don't do stuff one-on-one. There's not enough hours in the day to do what we have now, much less to work with people one-on-one individually. We just don't do that, unfortunately.
All right, guys. Well, I don't want to tie up the time. I'll listen some more, but yeah, but thanks for your help. Thanks for your input. I mean, I know it's not what I want to hear, but yeah, I just honesty is what I want to hear anyway.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing you get here. All righty, well, thanks. Good luck on your deal. I wish you could be more helpful, but
thanks. If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, boy, that doesn't sound like a good situation there. I'm going to tell everybody, if you have a question or want to talk to us about something, go ahead and hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. Don't wait, because if we run out of people with their hands up, I'm going to wrap the call up, because that's my orders from Uncle Jesse, and we can get on to doing some other things. But we do have a hand up at 407. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Velva.
Well, hi, Velva. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Awesome.
I'm just peachy keen.
Peachy keen. Sounds wonderful. It's that time of year for peaches, isn't it?
Hey, yeah, and... But I'm not in Georgia, so I can't be a Georgia peach. And Carrie can't either.
Well, I'm sorry, but South Carolina peaches are better.
Well,
just
she's a North Carolina peach.
That's right.
I'm a South Carolina peach, okay? Living in Florida.
Okay.
Just saying.
Here we go.
Anyway, I was having a little problem hearing Jesse explaining his good news and talking about the going around council, getting his attorney to write the letter, et cetera. Is that correct? Write the letter? Okay, and that was a letter. That was not a suit yet. Am I correct?
No, it's not a suit yet, no.
Okay. I'm keyword, I'm trying to get my attorney to move faster to get the suit started for going around council, and he's not moving fast enough. Any helpful hints?
Yeah, you know why? Because the reason is there's a year or up to 2 years, so there's no hurry.
I just want to know for sure that it's going to happen. I'm thinking that it's good to go with it now before they try to foreclose again. I mean, the trial again.
Well, going around council has nothing to do with, you know, foreclosure, so.
Well, I understand.
That's all.
Okay. And you had said he was writing the letter, but you were going to mail it, am I correct?
No, I already wrote the letter, and we mailed it. Remember, Velva, I do 90% of all this stuff, you know.
I know you do. That's why I want to be real clear on it. And I was going to, you know, I can listen to the recording tomorrow, but then I won't have you here live to ask you about it. So, okay, well,
yeah.
I'm going to come.
I like to do things myself. It just seems to be a little better. You know what I mean?
It certainly has turned out that way, hasn't it?
It sure the hell does.
It certainly has.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to just leave it right there. I'll listen to the recording again and get my notes down, and then I'll contact my attorney again tomorrow and see where we stand. Okie dokie.
All right. That'll work.
It was good. It was good talking to you.
All right, sweetheart. Likewise. Take care of them.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have a great evening, Belva.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to go on to 604. As soon as it unmutes, there you go. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas, this is Chad calling from Vancouver, BC, Canada. How are you?
Hey,
good,
a Canadian. Welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. Am I coming through okay?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Great. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm a rookie here, and I just had a question as I'm actually signing up.
Uh-oh. I think we got a reception problem. We're not hearing you right now. It almost sounded like he was traveling. I thought I heard some noise there, and I'm going to keep talking here, so if he's hearing us, he knows that
we're
not hearing him. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you guys now. Sorry about that.
Oh, there you go.
Is that a little bit better? Sorry about that, guys.
Yep, that's good.
I'm through the bad spot. So I got served papers at work from a credit card company who the debt's at about $20,000, and I heard it's pretty rare that they actually take you to court. And so they basically have come in, and I have 14 days to respond to them. And I'm just kind of wondering, I know I'm going to get some of this info off the site, but I'm wondering if you can kind of tell me what needs to be done first things first on this.
Well, really, when you
sir,
get into the – you just got to go to the site, to the beating credit card section, and just go through that information that tells you exactly what you need to do.
Okay, so it's gonna walk me right through it.
Yep. It's going to tell you precisely what you need to do.
Okay, and what part of the site is that?
It's beating credit cards.
Okay, perfect. So I'll go and check that out, and I guess that should answer everything.
That's going to be a good place to get you started. And then, you know, if you've got additional questions, there's a call Thursday night. Normally it's on Wednesday night, but Terry's call starting this week is moved to Thursday nights, and I will announce that information at the end of the call. So And then there's my call on Monday nights as well, where you can get a little bit of information if you have questions about what you study in the site.
Okay, so this Thursday night.
Yeah, and then you can also use the forum. Don't forget the forum is broken down by subject matter. You can post your questions in there after you go through and study the information. If you got specific questions, you can post your questions right in the forum and then get your answers too.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I'll have a good comprehensive look at that and then probably get on the call. And the call information will be posted through an email again, or will it be on the site?
No, I'll make the announcement on Terry's call on Thursday night. She's done hers on Wednesday night for years, but starting this week it's changing to Thursday nights, and I will give that specific information at the end of this call.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, thank you very much. Looking forward to learning all about this, so appreciate it.
All righty. Well, thank you. All right, we are going to one more time ask if anybody has a question. If you have a question for us, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and that will put you in the queue. And if nobody pops their hand up, then we are going to go ahead and wrap things up here, and I will make those call announcements. And I don't see anybody hitting the one key and putting their hand up, so... as I just mentioned to this gentleman, Terry's call that has been on Wednesday nights for years, that everybody's familiar with, starting this week is going to be on Thursday nights. The reason for that is very simply because of her change to North Carolina and work situation. Wednesday is the only day that all her family has time off of work. So she is going to start doing her calls on Thursday nights. And the phone number for her call is 605-475-3270. And the PIN for her call is 888-462. So if you want to get on Terry's call, remember, it's not going to be Wednesday nights anymore. Everything is the same. The phone number, PIN, everything is the same. It's just the same time, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Thursday nights, starting this week. Then, of course, for the members, study through the weekend. Post your questions in the forum. You can get your answers. And then on Monday, we'll be back to Dallas Debt Discussion. Monday will be Memorial Day. I will be there. The call will be there. It's your call. But I make sure that I'm there to answer any questions. It may be an abbreviated call. But that's still on TalkShoe.com. The PIN is 54318. And that call is at 9 o'clock Eastern. Again, on Monday nights, that stays the same. So we're out here next week on Tuesday night. There will not be a call. So, in fact, there won't be a call, I believe, for 2 weeks on Tuesdays. We got another schedule today, but there will not be a call next week on Tuesday night. So, Jesse, I'm going to throw it back to you. I hope everybody has a great week. I'll probably be on, in fact, I know I'll be on Terry's call Thursday night. So if you want to join us there, if you have questions, we can help you out there. But, Jesse, all yours.
No, just God bless everybody. Have a great week. Thanks to our moderators. Of course, can't do it without you guys. And, again, don't window shop a whole lot. There's too many situations you can get yourself out of just by partaking in the membership part of what lies in your debt. So join up. It's the best little bit of money you'll spend, and you can turn it into a bunch of money. So with that being said, you guys have a good night. Larry, I'll look at yours tomorrow. I'll get back at you tomorrow, buddy. All right, pal. There
you
are.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Worry. All right, brother. You guys be good. Have a great night. Dave, thanks again, man. Appreciate you hosting the call.
Good night,
you
everybody.
Betcha.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.